Hey everyone, and welcome to the Breakpoint Show. Today is April 23, and today's topic is getting a job and everything around getting a job and so on. So if you are curious, are we all switching jobs? Is Khalid going to become a farmer? You will find out later in this episode. But before we go there, let's do the honors of introducing Khalid and Chris. Chris, Khalid, welcome.
Hey, Martin. Yeah, I was. If I was gonna pick a different job, I think gourmet pizza bagel maker. I think is my dream aspiration. So thanks for bringing that up.
That's cool.
And Chris, do you have any dream aspirations?
No, I started college as an astrophysics major. So there are some days I wish I would have stayed in that and just looked at stars all day. But yeah. No, I love this job. I love my career.
Pretty good. I've always wondered what that big glowy thing in the sky is.
Well, you got to go outside.
Yeah, I got to go outside. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Martin.
Go ahead. I just wanted to say on that note of liking what you are doing and so on, if you like our show here, also make sure to like on whatever platform you are using. Subscribe to our channels so that you get notified about the next episodes and so on. And with that, let's see what the dream jobs are and how you could land them. Our industry is seeing some layoffs. It's also springtime on the Northern Hemisphere, and a lot of people are looking for new roles. And whatever the reason is, how do you land your new job? That's the question of the day. Chris, let's maybe start with you, because you just got a new job. How did you end up doing what we are doing, and what does it look like?
Well, I have to admit, my interview process was, hey, are you looking for a new job? And I said, well, yeah. How much does it pay? And it was between this number and this number. And I said, okay, how about this number? And it was, yes, we can do that. And I said, great, I'll start in 2 weeks. So that, but you know what? In all honesty, that's what 30 years of being in this industry can do, is if you work hard, do certain things, separate yourself from other people and make a name for yourself, you can actually just get a job. Someone can just say, I want you, come work for me. And you can just say yes or no. So hopefully we'll teach you how to do that in this 30 to 40 minutes. So, but that's how I got my job.
Khalid, did you go through rigorous interviewing and all of that? Or how did your last job or current job happen?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Martin actually interviewed me at JetBrains, and I had just come off of managing a team and was like, I don't really want to do management anymore. But I wrote a blog post. You can probably find it on my blog, but I listed dream companies I'd love to work for. And one of them was JetBrains. And I think Martin and our current CEO, Carol Scriggan, interviewed me. And they were asking me like, hey, how would you promote JetBrains? Because this is the first time I was actually applying for a developer advocacy position. I still don't. Am I doing a good job, Martin? Please tell me.
Let's talk after the show. Let's talk after the show.
I think I have imminent hours left at JetBrains. But the interview process was really simple in terms of what do you plan on doing? How would you promote our product? So it was really that. But I think Martin told me one of my ideas was to rent an RV, get vinyl graphics for JetBrains stuff, put on it, and then just drive around the country talking to people. I'd still love to do that if JetBrains wants to.
I'll do it with you.
It might be awkward with my wife in the van, but we'll make it work.
I'll let the dogs in. So,
but I think Martin, you said that was like, okay, this guy is crazy enough to make it work in developer advocacy. Is that fair?
That's pretty much it. Yeah, I think The two examples you guys gave were really cool in that people already knew you and you kind of knew what was going on and so on. But I don't think everyone is in that luxurious position where they can just say yes to any job that is being offered to them. But I guess even if you get to sort of skip the interview process like you did, Chris, where essentially your answer was yes or no, what do you typically do as a job candidate? Like company comes to you and says, hey, you want to work for us? And you can still say yes or no, but obviously you also want to get to know that company and figure out what the job is going to look like.
Well, I think let's take a step back, and before you start interviewing, really you have to sit down and figure out what you want to do. Because, you know, the great thing about our industry is there's so many different things to do and roles and responsibilities. And the bad thing in our industry is there's so many things to do and roles and responsibilities. And I think the first thing you have to do is sit back and go, this is where my passion is. This is where I think I can leverage and make a good enough living with this skill. And if those two kind of match up, then you should go for that kind of role. Like in the past, I've made multiple resumes. So I was like, okay, I like being an architect. I like being in DevRel. I like being like a tech lead, staff engineer. So I made a resume for each one of those different roles. And if I saw jobs for each one of those, I would send that resume off to that type of role. So there's some prep before you get into the interview. But once you get into the interview, I think, and I always tell people that I interview, because I've hired people, quite a few people, and I always go, it's an interview back and forth. I'm not just interviewing you as the hiring manager, but you should be interviewing me to make sure you want to work here. Because I don't want you to work here just for the money. I want you to work here because you see something, or the culture is a fit, or the people that you're going to work with, you're excited about. So really, you know, I've always said that money, like in our industry, money, you can find the money, but you can find the benefits. It's really working for a great company with a good culture and working with great people. That's the two things that I always tell people really to look for.
I think that's a very healthy way of doing it. I've also been interviewing people like Khalid, for example, and I also think that as someone who's hiring someone, you should be the person to also get questions, because you want to feel like, where is this person's interests? Do they match up with what the company is looking for? And essentially, even if you do interview questions or something like that, help them, coach them, just like you would do on the job that they're applying for, so that they get to know what the company is like, but also you get a good view of what the candidate is trying to accomplish and how they go about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I it's funny. Chris said, let's take a step back. Let's take another step back, because I've been doing a few office hours with folks who maybe have gone through like a coding boot camp or have a degree either in software engineering or computer science. And the real issue I'm seeing is like, maybe people are being super selective in terms of what their first job should be and where they want to work. So, you know, there's obviously a lot of hype and excitement around like the big tech companies, and that's where people ultimately want to be. But I think like, if you have no experience, there's a couple things you can do. First of all, you really should, and this applies to anybody. This applied to me too when I came out of college. It's like, people are scared to take a risk on someone who may be quote unquote untested, right? Like, oh, you've never worked at a place. You don't know how business functions. You don't know how to interact with people. Like, these are all unknown questions. You as a human being might like be functional and fly through these things with like great colors. But when someone's interviewing a first time hire, they don't know that. So I think a good thing to do is like get your foot in the door, get 1 year or 2 years experience at any place. It doesn't have to be your dream place, but understand that that's like, that's taking this potential stigma of a new hire off of you, right?
Yeah.
It gives you the experience you need. It gives you an understanding of our industry and potentially how things work. I will also say though, do your due diligence. Like Chris was saying, interview the company, make sure it's not a complete train wreck of a situation you're getting yourself into, but most places are not going to be that. So just getting your foot in the door. I will say the other thing I've told a lot of office hours is like, you know, Chris, Martin, we probably started our career just as the internet was taking off. There wasn't a lot of presence. But today, a lot of hires have huge advantages because they can actually go to the website of the company they're applying for. They can find the individuals who work at that company on social media and talk to them outside of an interview setting. So do your homework on your on the company you're applying for and ask questions like, hey, I see you folks are hiring. What problems are you currently trying to solve? And then gear your resume and gear your interview in a way that presents yourself as the solution for that particular company you're applying for. So,
exactly.
Like exactly. It's that is like the bare minimum you need to do.
Yeah. So here's the other secret that I've done my whole career.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll tell you a story. So I was I graduated high school. I was going to college for the first time. And in high school, I worked at this basically a manufacturing company that made injection molding pipe connectors. And my mom worked there. All my aunts worked there. I worked there in the summers and part-time during the school year. And when I went off to college, I told my foreman, I told him that he was a blah, 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 blah. And I would never work for him again. And guess what? I had to come back the next summer and work for him. But that taught me never burn bridges. It was only one time. And I say that because here's what I want everyone to do. Be nice to recruiters. You know what? Recruiters have a really bad stigma in our industry. I know so many people that talk to a recruiter and then they get ghosted and never hear back from them. And I'm not saying there are people that just treat people not nicely, but two wrongs don't make a right. So I always try to treat recruiters really well, like respectfully. I don't like kiss their butt or anything, but I treat them with respect because you never know if in two more weeks a great opportunity comes by and they know that you were nice to them, so they'll reach out to you first. Just be kind to everyone that you deal with during your job kind of search. I know you get frustrated. I know everyone gets really ornery and angry. I mean, it's a frustrating time to be laid off and try to find a job and digging into your savings and stuff like that. But just be kind to everyone that you're dealing with, because you never know when that person or that company will come back into your career process.
Exactly. Yeah. Don't burn bridges is really good advice, I think.
I'm going to burn bridges. Damn you, Martin.
You just like to see the world burn, right?
Yeah, it's fine. No, I will say this, though. It's like there's one thing about don't burn bridges. I think that's good advice. But I think it's also like, you know, if a situation or job isn't working for you, sometimes it's best to move on, because when you're in a situation, it means you can't be in a different situation, right?
Yep.
So it's like, I've been fortunate enough to be like, you know what? I'm done here. I want to move on. And kind of an idea that I've always tried to live by. I made this mistake in my last job, but you just keep moving forward, right? Like, the world's a big place. There are lots of opportunities, and you shouldn't dwell on like your current situation and worry about what could happen. Like, just keep moving forward. There's plenty of life there, I guess is what I'm trying to say. But anyways, go ahead, Martin.
Go ahead, Martin.
Yeah. I was just going to ask, if you think back about all of the companies you've worked for and all of the interview processes and so on, it would be nice if every single job that you landed was through someone asking, hey, do you want to come work for us? But I guess you've been through the regular interview processes as well. For someone who is new to the industry or is just getting started, what would you say a typical interview looks like, and how do you prepare for an interview?
I'll let Khalid start.
Yeah. You know, again, I think for me, I interviewed people. I'll say this, a mistake that I made as a hiring manager is like, I feel like I should have given more people more chances, right? Like, as a hiring manager, this goes to all hiring managers. Like, maybe you're looking for the perfect candidate, and there's never going to be the perfect candidate. And I think after a while, what you really want is a reliable employee that comes in, does the work, doesn't cause drama, or doesn't always have something. So it's like my bar as a hiring manager kind of dropped throughout the years, just to like, just do your work.
Yeah.
So I think from the perspective of an interviewee is like, come in collected, be clear about what you want, how you can contribute. And I think from an interview process, you're never going to find out everything you need to know about the job, and you're never going to find out everything you need to know about the team. And as a hiring manager and employer, you're never going to find out everything you need to know about the individual you're interviewing. It's always going to be a gamble. And I think these like 3 to 4 interview process things that the tech industry has gone through right now is ridiculous.
It personally is.
Because again, it's like, you're going to spend 40 hours trying to vet somebody. You're going to lose good people through that process, and you're probably going to get some not so good people because they're just going to grind through this thing because that's what they want to do. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can tell you a story there as well. So, I'm at JetBrains now as well, but I have been at Microsoft, and I've been working for a team in Redmond as someone in Europe. So my interview was actually in Redmond. So I flew up there for, I think, 36 hours door to door and back, just to go through 3 or 4 interviews, like you say. I will say that was a really cool experience in that they were not like whiteboarding or do a bubble sort on a whiteboard or anything like that. It was really talking to people, them learning about you, you learning about them, and really good to find a match and if this would work out. Mm-hmm. But it is quite scary to see all of those interviews lined up and know that the next 24 hours or 36, including all of the travel, you would just be fighting for a job essentially, which ultimately didn't turn out to be how that worked. But it's a big thing that is happening. I can guess that's intimidating to a lot of people.
Yeah. But if you go into it thinking it's going to be a fun experience and you're going to learn something and meet some new people. I mean, I interviewed with Microsoft, I think back in 2010 or 2011, and had the same thing, flew out to Redmond, and did a full day of interviews, didn't get the job, which I didn't think I was really fit for it. And told them, like when the hiring manager called back and said, just wasn't a fit. And I said, nope, I agree, it wasn't a fit. So I hope you find someone that is a fit, and thank you. And that's the whole thing of being kind and just being respectful. But I thought it was pretty cool. I got to go out to Seattle. I wasn't out there for very long. I had like one night in a hotel, but it was still an interesting experience. Got to go meet some people, be on the Microsoft campus, see something different. But Khalid hit on something that this isn't for hiring managers. I think this is really for people looking for a job. If you come in and a company wants you to do like beyond what you think an interview should be, like if they go, hey, like here's a problem, a coding problem, or like should take you 20 hours to do. I've heard of people having to do like these basically coding jobs. No, don't do that.
Yeah.
I don't care how good the job is. They're just using you to be honest, they're using you for free labor because they might use your code. You never know. So, I actually had experience with that here in Grand
Rapids. So are you saying don't write good codes during those interviews?
No, I just don't do it. I just say, I don't really want to continue on with the interviewing process. I appreciate everything and couldn't stop. But I had a recruiter call me here in Grand Rapids where I live, Grand Rapids, Michigan. And she said, oh, this company would like to, I sent your resume over to them. They'd like to talk to you for a couple hours and see how you fit. And basically I got in there for the 2 hours. I was pair coding. I was doing code reviews. I was talking to the manager about like architecture. And I walked out thinking, oh, yeah, that went great. Maybe I'll get a contract out of that. It was for like a 12-month contract it was geared for. And the next day, the recruiter was like, oh, yeah, they don't really want to move forward. And I go, oh, I knew this recruiter pretty well. She's very nice, a friend of mine. And I told her, and she goes, oh, she just took a deep breath and she goes, oh yeah, this company's done this before. Basically they like to get really smart people and bring people in and get their ideas. Mm. And then they say no, and they run with those ideas. So I'm really, really leery about going in and talking about specifics for their work. Like I have no problems talking about past experiences and like what I can do with the skills that I have and what skills I have. But when they start like saying, hey, can you take a look at this? Or, hey, we've got a system that does this. What do you think you would recommend us doing in this situation? I have actually said, you know, I appreciate the question, but I don't really want to answer that because I've been burned in the past and it feels like that is you're trying to take my experience and use it. And this isn't appropriate for an interview. And I have kind of made hiring managers mad, but, but I don't know. I just stand up for yourself. If you don't feel comfortable and you feel that you're in that inappropriate setting, like you have every right to stop the interview and, or let the person interviewing you know that you don't think that their questions are appropriate for interviewing for that role. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have a lot, we probably know lots of, sadly, people that come from underutilized groups within our industry, women, minorities, that have had bad experiences with interviews. And I just say stand up for yourself. Just like I said, it's an interview back and forth. And if you just feel like you're being taken advantage of, or your the path or the questions are not aligned with what you think an interview should be, like, just stop and let the person know.
Well, you know, Chris, you've mentioned a lot about, you know, standing up for yourself and representing yourself properly. The thing that's really helped me, and I would recommend this to anyone starting in our industry to kind of better represent themselves. And I'd like to get your input as hiring, both of you as hiring managers. But the more you can front load the perception of yourself, like before the interview starts, the better. Yeah. And there are things you can do right now in our industry that can help do that. So being involved in the tech communities that say those companies use, in our case, .NET, right? If you're doing open source projects that people are using, that's always a positive. So being involved there, being involved, I know people used to swear by Stack Overflow. So like helping community members, my personal favorite is blogging. So anytime you can do blogging, these days, the kids with their, you know, TikToks and their YouTubes, you know, that kind of stuff, start a YouTube channel or start a TikTok. So those pieces of content around you and your skill set can help set the scene when you come into an interview. And for me, I've had interviews go a little easier because as I come in, the interviewer already knows a lot about me. They ask about my wife. They ask about my dogs. They ask about, one time I wrote a blog post about accidentally hitting my thumb with a hammer. And somebody asked me like, "Hey, how's your thumb doing?" in an interview. So, I think I called my fingers sausage fingers and they said, "Oh, are your fingers still sausages?" But you know, there's all that kind of stuff. So instead of trying to fit your perception into the time allotted, which is typically like an hour or 2 hours, you can front load a lot of who you are and what you want to be able to accomplish in your career, like incrementally over time through blogs, video, social media, open source, that kind of stuff. So, definitely take advantage of that.
Yeah. I agree. Go ahead, Martin.
No, I just wanted to say, as someone who has been hiring people, it's definitely a big help, but I would also not call it a requirement. So it is good advice. Yeah. But if you don't feel like coding on GitHub or having a commit graph that is all greens because you're checking five different commits every single day, that's totally fine. You don't have to do it. But like Khalid says, it helps set the stage and people get to know you just before the interview as well. But again, don't feel obliged to do all of that.
Okay. No. I will clarify, right? You're right. It's not a requirement. And I think if you're really good at interviewing and you can get through the interview process, but I've interviewed a lot of people and actually hired people who maybe didn't have the best interview, but I saw their previous work and I saw what they were capable of. So it's like, there isn't a one size fits all. You're right, Martin, but I wouldn't think that you have to, I'm going to say this, it sounds bad, but you don't have to play fair when you're interviewing for a position. Take every single advantage you can. Do research, write resumes specifically for that company, write letters specifically to that company. If you know who's hiring you, mention things about the hiring manager, right? Like, do your work and it'll make it easier to get those jobs.
Yeah. Don't, I mean, you know what? There's nothing fair about our careers.
Yeah.
I mean, I know lots of very smart people that have not progressed in their careers and I don't know why. Maybe they like where they're at. Maybe they just hit the ceiling. But you hit on it. You have to take every advantage that is at your disposal. Mm-hmm. And you know what? If you don't like to write, I'll tell you what, I'll give you a secret. The people that separate themselves, developers separate themselves from other developers, because most of the time we all know C Sharp pretty well. I mean, I can clearly say that I am the dumbest person in this group. And I love that because I learn from other people. But here's the advantage I have. I can clearly describe a problem. I can hear it. I can digest it. I can build it, but I can communicate it writtenly. Is that a word? In a written form.
And here you're talking about communication.
Yeah. In a written form and in a vocal form, I can speak. So here's the thing. You have to use all your skills and everything to your advantage. Mm-hmm. And what the other thing we haven't really talked about is, sadly, most of the time it's not what you know, it's who you know. Mm-hmm. And it's about network. So keep in touch with people that you went to college with, or people that you went through a boot camp with, or like, go to user groups. There's not a whole lot here in the United States anymore. They're kind of dried up, but find places to go to meet people. I know it's tough. I work in this office 5 days a week. So I don't get out as much, and I really need to. I really need to go out and meet people and kind of get that, but it's who you know. Most of the time you're going to get a job through people that you know. Mm-hmm. People are going to go, oh, I remember Khalid. He's an awesome front end developer. Let's hire him.
Blasphemy front end. What the,
I don't know. I'm just making that up.
Oh, jeez.
Dude. Yeah.
You're going to get me stuck in a React job by accident. I don't know. Please. I can't. No. I can't, Chris.
No, I'll put you in the Angular job.
Well, that might not be as bad as React, but
But you have to use everything for your advantage, because it's not fair out there. And if you try to do fair things, I'm not saying you have to be an a-hole.
Yeah.
In your job search, but you still have to separate. It's all about separating yourself from the other people to make yourself the clear, obvious choice for an open role.
Can I say something in terms of what you're saying?
Sure.
Like, clearly separate yourself, but I think you should also clearly define yourself. Like, I've had to interview folks who maybe were applying for senior positions, and they come in and they're clearly like not at that level, right? So when you come into an interview, you're setting an expectation, and the position you're applying for kind of sets that expectation up front, right? So if you're coming in for a junior position, yeah, it's probably going to be a lot easier of an interview, because it's, for me as a hiring manager, it's really like a red flag check. Is this person just like, I know I'm going to have to teach them, I'm going to have to mentor them, guide them through the job process, but do they have the basic skill sets to grow, right? But if you come in and you have no experience and you're applying for like senior staff, principal, whatever the titles are these days, like those interviews are probably going to be tougher and have higher expectations. So don't, for me, it's like apply for the positions you think you can actually do, and don't just apply to positions that, you know, you think are just going to give you lots of money or going to give you a lot of clout and prestige, because I think in that you might get the job, but you're essentially setting yourself up for failure to begin with, because you might get that super high salary, but you'll have it for a month until you've essentially get fired.
Oh yeah. I mean, I've made some bad hires where I thought maybe someone could take on maybe not a pure senior, but more senior than maybe their resume was leading.
Mm-hmm.
And it's bites me in the butt.
Yeah.
So just you have to be honest with yourself. I mean, I know we all want to have the best job in the world and all the responsibilities and be able to dictate and tell everyone what to do. But you gotta like learn how to crawl before you walk, and you gotta learn how to walk before you can run. And if you can't do that, you just have to be mature and be humble and know your own, where you're at right now in your career. Yeah.
Totally agree. I think this is really, really good advice. We are also close to the end of this episode. So before we wrap up, there's one more thing that I wanted to ask, because I also think that's a really good question or a really good thing for people to do. You mentioned interviewing goes both ways, and the employer or future employer is looking for red flags in their candidates. But you, as an interviewee, what would be red flags for you to, well, we've learned that doing big coding exercises, for example, is going to be a no-go, but there have to be other things that you ask the future employer or other red flags that you are looking for as a candidate as well.
That's a good question. Khalid, do you have any?
I typically, a red flag is if my interviewer's name is Martin, but I totally messed that up in my last
job. Or he's from Belgium.
Or he's from Belgium, yeah. Should have known.
Ugh. Yeah, that didn't work out.
But no, a clear red flag to me is like what Chris was saying. You're interviewing for a position. So if you need to ask questions like, especially since we're in the tech industry, what technologies are you currently using day to day? What tools are you using? What currently is your biggest problem as a team, and how are you planning to fix it? Right? Like these are like, if you're talking to a team lead or a dev lead on the team, and they cannot answer these questions or are hiding answers from you or answering with "I don't knows" a lot, it kind of tells you you may be potentially walking into a mess, right?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I would also say, like, look, jobs aren't only about tech, right? Like, we like to fetishize tech, like it's going to solve all our problems, but our industry is inherently about social problems. It's about dealing with people. So I think if you're in an interview, you need to ask, how do you interact with business stakeholders? How much are they involved in the process? And if you, for me, a huge red flag personally is if it's like tech dictates what the business does and business doesn't get to give feedback, that's a huge red flag. It tells me like there's a power dynamic within that company that, there's too much power on the dev team, and there's probably growing resentment towards the dev team. And I don't want to exacerbate that as a new employee. Right. It's about the social dynamic in companies. And I ask a lot of questions about that before I get into it. So
I agree. I always like to ask the hiring manager, like, hey, tell me about the team. Tell me like how long people have been on the team, because if I hear like everyone on the team has been here for less than a year and it's not a new product or project, that tells me a lot either about the company or about the hiring manager. Because, you know, we always see these quotes, and people don't quit a company, they usually quit a manager. I don't know, just keep your radar, keep your antennas up. If you get a weird feeling from questions that you asked or questions that you were asked, I mean, just take note Yeah. If something feels wrong, usually basic instincts are a pretty good indicator that maybe, but let's jump all the way back to what Khalid said in the beginning. Sometimes if you're looking for a job and you haven't had a job for a while, or you are just out of college or just out of whatever training that you've done, you may just have to take that job and work there mm-hmm. for a while and get the experience and then move on. Yeah. So yeah. It all depends on where you are in your career, where you are in your job search. I mean, it really depends but just use good sense and use your spidey sense, I would say.
Yeah, I will say a good like red flag question for me, and I'll this will be my last comment, but a good red flag question for me is to ask people, when was the last time you deployed your software/feature to users? Because if a company says, oh, we just deployed yesterday and we deploy weekly, that tells me it's like, okay, there's at least like good progress and momentum, right? Development is about momentum and progress. If the company comes back and says, well, we deploy maybe like once a year and we're like currently trying to figure out how to deploy, that might be a red flag in terms of processes and red tape. And, well,
but that might be a good opportunity to come in and help out the team if you have those deployment skills and you have a passion around DevOps.
Exactly. So, they can even ask you during the interview to work on this for a couple of hours and then decide not to hire you.
Yeah. So if you get a question like that and you get feedback, then you go, hey, are you looking to improve? I mean, it sounds like you don't deploy that much. Is the team looking? Is the company looking to improve the deployment process? Because I have those skills and I can help you with that.
I agree. Again, like you said, it depends, but I think like it also depends on the job they're hiring you for. If you're a junior, they're probably not hiring you to rework their entire business process. Exactly. So to me, it's like, that's a red flag in terms of you're probably going to be really frustrated with the process and you probably you'd be better off just finding something a little better. Yeah.
I agree.
That said, if the company is looking for transformation and that's something you want to do, ask those questions, right?
Yep.
But know that people hate change. People love change. They hate change when it affects them. So everyone hates change. Yeah.
Yeah. This is also true.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, Khalid hit on everything. So I don't have any closing thoughts.
Chris, I have a problem I need you to work on after this show, by the way. So I'm going to need some free
I'll work. Send you an invoice.
All right.
I think this is a really good moment to start wrapping up. I would say everyone who is listening, who is watching this on YouTube, let us know what you think. If you have tips, if you have thoughts on interview questions, on how to make sure that you get into an interview, all of those things, leave them in the comments. If you like this episode, of course, give us a thumbs up on the platform of your choice and subscribe to us for future episodes that are coming. And with that, thank you, Khalid. Thank you, Chris. And we will see you next time.
And I'll offer, if anyone wants to chat, hit me up. All my contact stuff is on the website, or we'll put some contact information if people do want to ask questions privately for us or have some time with us. I'll give a half an hour to people. I think
that's fantastic.
So
right. Thank you, Chris. Bye, all right. Everybody. See everyone. Bye.
Bye.